Some people, when they come to meditation, have to deal with overconfidence. Others have to deal with self-doubt. Both can be pretty debilitating. Overconfidence in the sense that you assume that everything you do is right. You don't look at your actions. You don't want to see any faults in your actions or your words or your thoughts. And so you miss a lot of things. Self-doubt is also debilitating. You start focusing on the breath and you give in to all the voices that say, who are you to be meditating? Think of the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree. That was one of the questions, apparently, that Mara asked him. Who are you to become Buddha? Who do you think you are? And the tradition has it, the Buddha touched the ground and the Mother Earth goddess came up and squeezed out her hair. All the water of all the goodness he'd done over those many aeons came out and washed away the forces of Mara. If you try touching the ground right now, the Mother Earth goddess will not come up. But you're a human being. And you're here because you want true happiness. Notice that the requirement is not that you've always been good. This is your reward for always being good. This is a path that's open to people who've made mistakes. Buddhism is one of the few religions where they openly admit that their founder had made mistakes on his way to awakening. When you read the Jatakas, you read all kinds of things about how the Bodhisattva broke the different precepts. He never broke the precept against lying. He was basically learning the ropes. He wasn't perfect yet. He worked on perfections, the process of getting better, the process of mastering a skill. And so that's what we're here for. We're people who've known mistakes in the past, done mistakes in the past, done some really stupid things in the past. We want to admit that and then move on to something better. That's what the meditation is for. So whenever doubts come up in the mind, remind yourself you're a human being. What do you need beyond being a human being in order to meditate? Well, you need some persistence and you need some truthfulness, so you stick with it. These are two qualities that are emphasized over and over in the forest tradition. That is, if you stick with this quest for true happiness, and you really are serious about it, not grim, but serious, that's what will see you through. This quality of truthfulness is what gets you to sit down and do it, and then to watch what you're actually doing and watch the results of what you're doing. And you get to choose whether you're satisfied with the results or not. And some people will stop at a certain spot. The Buddha said, though, the secret to his awakening was never resting satisfied with what was skillful in his practice until it had gone all the way. Which means there has to be a certain edge to the practice. Knowing that the work is not done yet, but learning how to live with that. This is a part of having a mature attitude toward goals. I know when I was practicing in Thailand, especially at Dhammasatin, I always had the sense someone was watching me. And so that always kept me a little bit on edge. And that was what helped with my heedfulness. Got me to sit longer than I might have otherwise and to do more meditation, walking meditation. And all in all, just try harder than I might have otherwise. So it's good to have that inner motivation. I was reading this awful piece recently where someone, and you see this all too often in Western Buddhism, where people suddenly decide they figured out the trick that the Buddha was playing on everybody. There's the one that says, well, if you desire awakening, but hey, there's no desire in awakening, so if you have desire for awakening, that's going to prevent it. That's one way of talking yourself out of doing the practice. Another one was that if you have to make an effort, it requires motivation. To stir up your motivation requires having a sense of self. And of course, we know we're not supposed to have a sense of self, so that means you don't make any effort. Well, the Buddha, of course, never said that the sense of self is always bad. You need a healthy sense of self, that you're competent to do this. That passage where Ananda talks about the conceit that's needed to overcome conceit. Realizing that other people have gained awakening, they're human beings, they can do it. I'm a human being, I can do it too. Or, as I said, why not me? And all, it's good to have a lot of respect for the Ajahns, in the sense that they've really put a lot of effort into this and were as observant as possible. That's one of the things that Ajahn Mun kept hammering into his students, forcing them to look around themselves. Still, they were not superhuman. They were human beings, and they simply pushed themselves a little bit harder. They listened to that last word that the Buddha said, which is to attain consummation. In other words, master the skills. The path itself is a whole set of skills to be mastered. The Buddha himself was, as we chant, consummate in knowledge and conduct. Can't remember all the qualities of the conduct. The knowledges, of course, were knowledge of past lives, knowledge of beings dying and being reborn in line with the karma, and most importantly, the knowledge of the ending of the affluence. And as for conduct, that includes restraint of the senses, moderation in eating, wakefulness, being consummate in your virtue, working on the four jhanas. And then a set of qualities which, as I said, these are the ones I can't remember, but they're very similar to the seven treasures: conviction, a sense of shame, a sense of compunction, learning, generosity. These are all things that human beings can work on, all things that human beings can master. Some of those knowledges might be beyond us, but the ability to see a defilement and put an end to it is not. The ability to get your mind to settle down is not. These things are not beyond us as human beings. And we need to be motivated to do this. So learn how to stir yourself up and remind yourself this is something that human beings can do. And we start out with all our imperfections, but the development of the perfections is something you perfect. In other words, you master it step by step. As with any skill, it takes a while to get the hang of it. And step by step by step, you develop your skills, and there will be insights and breakthroughs along the way. But the important thing is that you keep at it, and you have a sense that this is something you can do. The Buddha is not asking you to do anything more than a human being can do. Notice what you're doing, and notice the results of what you're doing, and where the results are satisfactory and where they're not. That's basically all it comes down to. Then if the results are not satisfactory, what can you do to change what you did? You can't go back and undo that past action, but the next time around, how would you change it? Always think of that questionnaire, the ideal questionnaire for a brain surgeon going to school. One is, can you tell me about a mistake you made? And two, how would you do it differently the next time? And if the people can't think of any mistakes, they wouldn't get in. And if they hadn't really thought through, well, how they would do it better the next time or more correctly the next time, they wouldn't get in either. So those are the two things you're looking for, not only in brain surgeons, but also in meditators. The ability to recognize a mistake and to figure out how not to repeat that mistake. That's what lies at the essence of becoming consummate. And it's something we can all do.